Proverbs 4 and 20 through 22. I'm going to read that for you. This is a good scripture that we all need to be practicing and reading. It says, these six things doeth the Lord hate. That's the wrong scripture. We want the fourth chapter. Here we are. The fourth chapter, verse 20 through 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them. And guess what? Health to all their flesh. You don't have to go looking for a whole bunch of scriptures. You could just pick one like this. You can pick one like Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22. And it's a promise there that if we do the things in verse 20, it says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. So that's what you have to do, saints. Before you expect God to give you health for all your flesh, you got to do verse 20. And when you do verse 20, then this is the promise that he said you would have. He said, if you do this, if you let them not depart from your eyes, you keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. See, the word of God is life to you and it's health to you. It's health to all of your flesh. So we need to start doing these things. We need to start speaking the word over ourselves, speaking the word over our children, speaking the word over our family, speaking the word of each other on church members, and asking God for help and to strengthen and to bless and to heal and to deliver and to set us free. The Bible says we perish for the lack of knowledge. When we reject God, God will reject us. There's an old cliche that says knowledge is golden. Saints of God, if that ever was true, it's true with the word of God. The word of God is knowledge. And the Bible says better than gold. You know, to have the knowledge of God means you read the Bible, you study, you meditate, and you speak the word only. If we're going to do these supernatural works of God, we have to know him. How can we know God? We can only know God through his word. God's words are knowledge. And we find that in Proverbs 2 and 6. David said, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 23 and 12 says, apply thine heart unto instructions and thy ears to the word of knowledge. God's word is knowledge. Saints of God, let's get in the word. When you get in the word of God, that is the knowledge of God. And when we have the knowledge of God, then we can do all things through him. There's nothing too hard for us to do when we do it in the knowledge of God. Amen and amen.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
Family, you have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bell,
or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1 as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Things that I love about this word that we have before us today is that it is a real account about a real mother who has demonstrated virtuously principles and has walked before her son, the king, in such an honorable way that he literally is inspired of the Lord to pen this and bring record to the ways of a virtuous woman. What a wonderful example we have in this 31st chapter, and she has been called a superwoman, a superhero, a pristine example. She's been also called an untouchable woman because of all of the wonderful things that this man says about his mother, and is a realistic view of what she portrayed before him. One of the things that I want us to realize is, my brothers and sisters, is that this word brings to life the reality of what God can do in a submitted and committed life unto him, and the impact that a godly mother makes upon her children. I think sometimes we discount the fact that what God has done in a godly mother, and especially in this Proverbs 31 mother, is not practical or realistic today. I think we discount the fact that this word is a record, and it is real, and it can be done if we so yield ourselves to the principles of God's teaching. And I think it's important to realize that even if you can't make the mark, you ought to try not to miss the mark. In other words, I think it's a wonderful measuring pole. I think it's a wonderful way to say, no, I'm not perfect as a mother. No, I'm not perfect as a woman, but I do want to reach, strive, do all I can to be as perfect as I can. And certainly I think this represents, again, the measuring rod that will help you to accomplish that goal. Let's look at, if you will, some of the things that this woman is characteristic of in measuring motherhood against this word. One, she seeks always the good of her husband, which develops his trust in her, found in the 10th verse through the 12th verse. Look at what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman? Now look at where it starts. It starts off with the woman before it becomes the mother. Okay? It develops in the relationship with her husband. For her price is far above rubies. In other words, it starts off with the woman herself. It starts off with the fabric and fiber of her holistic being. In other words, she doesn't get with a man to make her. She's made when she gets with the man. She knows who she is. She knows what she is. She's capable of carrying her own share of the load. And she knows that as a result of her being found, let me say that again, as a result of her being found, she ain't looking for no husband. She ain't looking for no man. Because her price is far
above rubies. And here's what she know. She don't want no anybody.
That's right.
She don't want no everything. Looking at, hey, little mama, can I holler at you? No, I don't want nobody hollering at me. No. She's respectful. She respects herself. She's not going to bring herself down to a low level just because time has passed and folk may say, oh, child, you're not married yet. You ain't got. No, because God knows, and she knows as well, that because she's so priceless, she ain't looking for a piece of man. So sometimes it takes God a minute to develop her. Good thing, too. Her Boaz. Yeah. Listen. So he starts with her. He starts with her, knowing that she is somebody. Now, I want you to go on and see. The Bible says, verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil or ruin. Listen. Because he knows the essence of who she is, and what she does is not because of him, truly, but is because of her and who she is, that he is able to safely trust in her. In other words, and this is one of the things that men have got to learn in relationships, etc. You know, if God's going to give you a help meet, it's going to be a woman who can help you meet whatever his vision, whatever his role, whatever his purpose, whatever his plan is for your life. And one of the things that you've got to know is, if God has given you that gift, then you need to know, you need to trust in what God has done in her, to her, through her, for her, to help you. You can't do it all, nor should you try to do it all. And yet you need to know, as the head, you've got other meaningful parts to your body. And the head can't do it all. And what is right and within the responsibility and roles of the helpmeet, trust that she will do it to the best of her ability, and that you will be enhanced and encouraged and even fulfilled by allowing her to do what God has blessed her to do in your life. Good case in point. If you have a certain weakness, just because you're the man doesn't make you weak, because you submit to the wife who has a strength in that area. Now, you may be able to bring home the bacon, but you might not be able to fry it up in the pan. But she'll fry it up in the pan and never let you forget you're the man, if she's the right woman. In other words, you may not know how to manage it. You might not know how to make a dollar stretch. You might not know how to go in the paper, get coupons. And you might not know how to shop at the right places to get the most out. You might not know how to do all of that, but put it in her capable hands and watch her make that thing stretch and do some wonderful things. You know you ain't put but a few pennies in her hand. And it's amazing how she makes that money. Whew. Well, anyway, you get the point. Her husband doth safely trust in her. And listen, and there's no fear in him of spoil. In other words, he knows she's going to do the right thing with what he gives her. He knows he don't have to worry about waking up one day and finding out he's bankrupt because she didn't take care of the business right. He knows he ain't got to worry about when he gives a bill money that bill collectors, one day he homesick, get 1,000 calls. They talking about come and pick up the car, come and pick up the dog, come and pick up. What? And yet you see no fruit of where the money has gone. You know, he don't have to worry about that. His heart doth safely trust in her, and has no need of spoil. See, he knows that she knows how to handle things properly and do things decently and in order. So he has no fear that his empire is going to collapse because his wife is not all she ought to be. I want you to see something else. Secondly, she's industrious and therefore has no time to be a busybody. Look at verse 13. I want you to see this through 15. The Bible says, she seek wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She's industrious. In other words, she finds with her own ability to do the things that she can do to better the situation, to bring income into the family, to make what is there better. She's a blessing and she's not lazy. She is not one who is given to being served as much as she's willing and desirous of serving. Even those who serve under her are blessed. They are blessed. Not only because of her kindness and not only because of her generosity and compassionate spirit, but they learn so much from a woman who is filled with an industrious spirit. In other words, she's always looking for something worthwhile to do. Now, can I tell you how better women would be if they had that kind of spirit and not one of the busybody spirits? One of the problems with so many women who's given good women a bad name is the fact that they've spent so much idle time. I'm talking about mothers and wives who've been blessed enough to stay home, because it is a blessing to be able to stay home and take care of your husband and your family. It is a huge blessing. But some have not taken advantage of that in the right way. And so they fill their minds with all of those stories and all of that mess on television. And so many hours of that day are filled with, they can't get stuff done because they got to watch their stories. And everything they do comes on commercial breaks between one show after another show. And they're so worn out at the end of the day, not because they've been working, but they have worked their minds with all the mess they see. And between that, they take and telephone, child, turn TV on. Now, listen at this, because it starts with the show. Yeah, who that remind you of? Mm-hmm. And before you know it, their minds and all of the mess goes on. Listen, a virtuous woman don't have time for all that foolishness. She's about that betters, that develops, that increases. She's all about that brings to another level and that enlarges, not about that diminishes and that does the opposite of good. And so it's important to realize that she's an industrious woman. She's so busy taking care of her business that she ain't got time to mind nobody else's business. She's so busy looking after her own affairs and the affairs of her husband and her household and her family that she doesn't have time to be nitpicking in anybody else's. God bless that woman. Hallelujah. Look at this. Thirdly, she is constantly looking after the welfare of her family. Again, in verse 27, it says, she looketh well. Now, look at this, because it's speaking all through this work about the various things and noting them individually, and yet it comes back and says again, reaffirming, verse 27, she looketh well, somebody say well, to the ways of her household. In other words, she make things well by looking well after the things of her home, the household that she's responsible. She's not responsible for the people next door, across the street, down the street, around the corner, across the neighborhood. She's responsible for what goes on in her house. In her house. She's the one that makes the other women and the other men say, why you don't do like so-and-so does. I mean, his shirts ain't never wrinkle. He got crease in his socks. I mean, she just looks at, I mean, the children. I mean, she must iron the ribbon she put in her daughter's hair. I mean, you don't see hair out of place. You don't see. I mean, children are impeccable. And I got to say this about, again, and this is clear as well. Women, can I tell you, you do yourself a disservice when you come out looking like you stepped out of Vogue and your child look like somebody from some refugee camp. Because when children go out, they are the real representation of how you take care of your household. I don't care if they're going out and playing in the backyard. They ought to look like they've been cared for. And if they got dirty, it ought to look like they just got dirty. Some of y'all gonna catch that on your way home. Well, look, let me move on because there's a lot to say about her. She has good judgment when it comes to the financial well-being of her family. Again, if you look back into 16 and 18, we've read that already. But again, it says, verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. Now listen to this. She knows how to make wise decisions. She know how to make good investments. And all of these are not Wall Street investments. But she knows the kind of investments that will bring back good dividends for her family. She knows how to invest in people. She knows how to invest in things. She knows how to invest in a good deal. On and on and on and on. She knows how to do these things. She knows how to stretch and manage her money. Verse 17 says, she girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. In other words, she is so forward thinking and fruitful in her doings that she's even productive when other women have said good night and put out the lights. Sometimes her greatest work is done when everybody else is going to sleep. And she's still doing things, finishing up the day and preparing for the next day. It's amazing why women call this a superwoman. Look at this. I want you to see this enough. She spends the time in ministering to the needs of those outside her family. Look at verse 21. It says, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Again, it says, verse 20 rather, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Now, she doesn't neglect her own household, and her own household looks good in and outside of the house, but she also reaches, stretches, moves beyond the confines of her own house and blesses folk outside of her house. But I want you to note one thing first. Her house is taken care of first. First, you think her husband have a problem with her blessing folk when he's blessed? The children are blessed? The house is blessed? Do you think he has a problem sharing with the poor and the needy when she has learned how to manage money? And she said, well, babe, I think we ought to give such and such. He said, well, babe, if you think so, that's a good idea. Because what he knows is she's going to give, and she's going to give, listen, most times in this case, out of surplus. Because she has worked and she's put aside, she has managed, she knows what is due, she knows what is coming due, and she knows what she's got expected for what that may not have been planned to come due. And out of all of that, she's still got some extra. And it makes her want to reach beyond where they are and what they have and help others who are poor and needy. That kind of person God smiles richly upon. Because God calls us to assist the poor and the needy. But you got to know that she's going to be selective because she's not going to cast her pearls before swine. Jesus said, the poor you'll have with you always. What a virtuous woman knows, and a woman who knows how to help and blessed outside of her family is that she's not trying to give away something that's going to increase in more degradation. In other words, she's not going to give $5 to the alcoholic to go buy more alcohol to hurt himself. Now, what she will do is offer him a plate of food. Take him something cool to drink, but not support his addictive habits. She's going to be selective. She's not going to give a mother money to go waste on crack cocaine when her children need clothes. She's going to buy some material. Find out the sizes of the children. Make them some clothes so that the clothes go directly to the need of the children and is not redirected on the misfits of the parents who are misfits. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here today? In other words, she's going to really bless the poor and the needy even when they don't want the blessing that she's blessing them with, because they want to take what she has to offer and use it in a way that will not be beneficial for the family. She knows how to look beyond the mess and still be a blessing to those who really need. See, a lot of times children can't be blessed because the parents are messed up. But she knows how to bless the children even when the parents are messed up. Look, I want you to see something else. I want you to see the sixth thing about this woman and the characteristics of her. She is honorable, wise, and kind. Let's look again, verse 25, 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now listen to this. I told you she is honorable, wise, and kind. Look at her clothing. I love this analogy dealing with her character. Strength is her clothing. Listen again. Honor is a part of her dress. They are what she puts on as a covering on a daily basis. In other words, this is connected with the reality of not only what's on the inside, but what is shown and seen on the outside. She does not hide this. She wears her honor and her strength as clothing. When they see her, they see the beauty of her. They see it in her smile. They see it in her ability to go beyond the call of duty. They see it in her ability to be kind to those who need a kind word, to be a listening ear. She is the one they seek out when they've got problems and when they need counseling and when they need prayer. She is the one that, because she wears her strength and her honor as clothing, people who see those strong characteristic traits in her are calling upon her because they want that in their own lives, and they know because she displays that it is a part of her. She can't help herself. And if they want somebody to talk to, really talk to about things that are going on in their lives, they want somebody like her. Somebody who's honorable, who's wise, who's strong. Now, they're not saying she don't shed tears. They're not saying she don't go through some stuff. They're not saying that she's perfect. But they're saying she sure enough got her stuff together enough to help me. You think about that, women. Who are the women in your life that you see like that, that you look up to like that? When you've got an issue, whether it's with your husband, whether it's with your children, whether it's with, you know, making a decision, whether it's about what's the next fruitful step in life for you, whether it's about whatever that you see as that person strong enough that you can go to and know you'll get good guidance from. That you see she's been through some stuff, and some stuff has been through her. But all it's done is strengthened her and made her more honorable, because she didn't bend and stoop, but she stood on the promises of God and she patiently waited. And here's what she knows, that though she has done those things, her rewards are not yet in totality appreciated, or have they arrived. And what she knows is they are on the way. She has sown her seed, so a harvest is coming. She has sent her ship out, so one is coming back. She has done her part, so God has got to reward her. Look at what this word says.